Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Pete Quinnell.
Hello.
Hello, man. How's it going?
Hi. Not too bad. How about you?
Very, very well, thank you. I've had quite a quiet morning.
Yeah.
I've been doing some stuff for the podcast. I've been reading The Observer, ready for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's more or less been about it, really.
Yeah. I could tell when I came in the office and it was just you and Simon having a chat.
Oh, we were
that
having
a
little chinwag, me and housemate Simon, having a proper little chinwag about the state of television and all sorts of gabbins. So it's been okay, mate. Mm. But you will be here all the time soon
enough. All the time.
So you'll get to see that
really
in
soon.
All its glory.
I know. I can't wait. I mean, it's been over a month since the offer was made to actually start full time.
WrestleMania season.
It was the night after Mania, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a WrestleMania review podcast.
That's right.
Ramble. So that's, April 8th. And now it's May 16th. And I've still not started full time yet.
Well, that's what will happen.
Yeah.
Estate agents.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's say estate agents.
So put it politely.
Yeah.
Estate agents. This goes out to Linus as well, who said, hey guys, listen to the Raw review, and I heard you talking about Tough Enough and how I said that it hasn't really created any stars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because someone was saying that we should bring Tough Enough back, but for like creative, and I thought that was quite a funny little idea, actually.
Nice.
But I was like, the problem is with Tough Enough is that like WWE just never bothered to sign any or push any of the people out of it. And that, like, some people were like, oh, what about this person? What about this person? What about this person? But really, let's be honest, folks. There's one person, The Miz, is the only, and I'm going to clarify this, star that has come out of Tough Enough.
Yeah.
There have been people they have signed, as Linus says here, like the Velveteen Dream and Fire and Desire, but they're not stars. They're just bodies on the roster.
Yeah.
Velveteen Dream has all the potential in the world, but he is not a star as of yet.
Not yet. He's a star on the NXT roster. He's one of the biggest stars on the NXT roster, but he's not a WWE star.
No, he is not. He is not a name that people would recognize.
Exactly.
So Tough Enough brought us Maven, and that's about it.
Cameron of the Funkadactyls, thank you very much.
And she recently said she's making a comeback to wrestling.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
And she's spoken to WWE and everything. Have you seen this video?
Which one?
So she released a video. I'm guessing it's on her own YouTube channel.
Right.
But it is weird because it's one part video blog about how I'm making a return to wrestling and I've spoken to WWE and I'm really excited about coming back. And another half just booty shaking at a camera. She just climbs onto a bed and just starts booty shaking. And I'm like, I don't think I should be watching this at work, to be honest. I'm not sure I'm comfortable putting this in the news.
Yeah, that was her gimmick as part of the Funkadactyls, just to be attractive while Brodus Clay did his thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that's her gimmick when she comes back?
I guess so. She also had one of my all-time favorite Raw moments ever when she did a split, like a splits thing as like a pin, but the person was face down, and then she had a go at the referee for not counting the pinfall. And I'm like, oh, you put these out in like on live TV.
My God.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Women's wrestling has come a long way.
It has.
In a very short, in WWE, I should say. It's been,
yes.
It's been, yeah, Impact have been doing wonders for decades.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's been come leaps and bounds in the last few years.
For
sure. For WWE. And thank you to Ruben Johnson, who sent a very, very interesting email in about the Kabuki Warriors name. I thought I'd read this one out. It says, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and all the WrestleTalk lads, not you, Andy. I equally hate the name Kabuki Warriors just as much as the next person. Anything that sounds Japanese, stick it with the Japanese women, just like when Asuka and Kairi Sane were paired together in the first place. Anyway, the word Kabuki, though famously known for the ancient Kabuki theatre, also has a different meaning for me. My little sister Kitty, who is 10, has a rare genetic disorder called Kabuki syndrome. The complications with Kabuki syndrome include heart defects, feeding difficulties, vision and hearing difficulties, weak muscle tone, and frequent infections. It's called Kabuki syndrome due to the similarities in facial features people with Kabuki have and the Kabuki theatre master two Japanese men discovered the disorder. My sister has had up and downs in her life, including 14 operations in her short 10-year lifespan. Oof.
Jesus.
As well as coming over massive hurdles, including doctors saying she'll never overcome, such as eating, talking, walking, to name a few. In fact, just last week, she competed in a gym competition and came first. My parents set up a UK-based charity, Kabuki UK, to bring together hundreds of families whose children all suffer from the same rare genetic disorder. So that with a few families in my back garden in sunny old Bournemouth, and is now an annual event held on a farm near Birmingham. I used to get bullied for having a sister with special needs, but I do all I need to see things she's overcome, and I count myself lucky to have her as my sister. I'm now an ambassador for one of Dorset's biggest children hospices, and I do a lot of work for them. My main job is doing public speaking from a room of 30 people up to a huge full 3,000 people.
Oof.
I just want to be an ambassador and spread the message that being different is a-okay. Sorry for the long email, I just thought I would share the word what Kabuki means to me. Let's just hope WWE don't mess these up. We can always pray. Big love to you guys as always. That's from Ruben. What a fantastic email.
That was amazing.
Congratulations
yeah.
to you and your sister as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that was incredible. Incredible story.
And your family.
Thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. This one comes in from Daniel. We're going to be giving him very different kind of wishes here. Hi, Luke and everyone at WrestleTalk. I've had a lot of free time at the moment, so I've set myself a challenge to watch every WWE pay-per-view from 1995 until now. And after a few weeks... right, yeah. After a few weeks, I'm into 2004, and you can notice the content changing. I'm a younger fan, so I haven't seen a lot of these shows. So do you have any standout shows that instantly come to mind between 2004 and 2010 that I should particularly look forward to? Thanks, Dan Partridge. Oof, mate, you went through that rough 1996-1997 period where, man, and all those like WrestleMania 13, what a dreadful show that was. And I don't think... 2003 was a rough old time as well, when they really didn't know what the brand split was. Mm. And it was just, every pay-per-view was just like, it was Raw, but again. And now there is a title, and it was very, very bad.
That's not great. Yeah, my knowledge of that kind of period of wrestling is quite limited, because I watched very briefly when I was quite young, mainly because my older brothers watched it, and I happened to also be there while they were watching it, so that was secondhand watching it. And then I didn't really get back into it until about 2010, actually, was when I started watching it again. It's actually the Nexus that brought me back
into it.
So, yeah, that whole period from, like, probably about 2000... No, a little bit later than that, because I remember watching The Invasion with my brothers. That was a thing that happened. But after that, my mind's blank until about 2010.
Yeah, I think 2005, like, that's... I got back into wrestling around 2005. I dropped out 2002-ish, shortly after WrestleMania X8, basically. Yeah. I'm trying to think of any like standout pay-per-views, because I'll be honest, that period of time, that 5-year period of time, is quite bad, particularly on the Raw side of things, because you're like the DX reunion, which was dreadful, the never-ending feud there with Vince McMahon. I think that lasted 5 years. I might be exaggerating, but it was never-ending. So I'm trying to think, like, I find though that it's 2011 is sort of the period you want to be looking towards. Like, I think that's when it starts to pick up again. Although, actually, yeah, no, I've completely forgot. 2005, I think it's 2005, was One Night Stand.
There was One Night Stand 2005 and One Night Stand 2006. Yeah. Or was it 2006 and 2007?
The original ECW One Night Stand, was that 2000? Yeah, it was 2005.
2005. And then they had a 2006 one
and
as well.
Yeah, the 2006 one's also a lot of fun, but the 2005 one is an extra special show.
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
That is one I would highly recommend. Although if you're going through the network, you won't find it under WWE. You've got to head on over to ECW to find that
one. Of course, yeah.
Along with... December to Dismember. both shows we have done on our Patreon podcast. Mm. You're very, very welcome. This is a follow-up email from Aaron. Yeah, it was a cheap plug. It's a follow-up email from Aaron who sent us an email about our irrational fears. And he sent us an email in about snakes. Hi, guys. I'm just sending a little clarification email. When I said all snakes, I literally mean all snakes. When I go to the zoo, I never go to the snake exhibit. I had a girlfriend with a split tongue resembling a snake, and we had to break up because I didn't like the feeling. I don't like snake eyes on a dice. I'm terrified of the viper Randy Orton. I'm not joking. I'm horrified by all snakes. Once again, thanks, guys. Also, I'd buy some Andy merch. Oh, wow.
Well, we're in the email with the last
little
bit there.
Was going so well. It's going so well. I was going to ask you a question, but I'll save that for the outro, I think. Well, we'll have this Rusev hey. This comes in from Julian. It says, hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie. How's it going? Got a Rusev hey. Been meaning to send in. Back in late October, my friend and I went to a Raw show in Charlotte, North Kakalaki. To be more specific, the go-home show for the Saudi Crown Jewel event. Mm. After the show, my buddy and I explored the city a bit, and we eventually decided to go to our local 24-hour diner. On the walk up to the entrance doors, a homeless man called for us, asking if we could get him some food. My amigo promptly responded with a, yep, which in itself was fine, but he then followed on with a, come on, as he signals the guy to follow us. Seeing as this is a complete stranger from the street, I was not particularly happy about him being invited to a diner without my consent. We walk into the restaurant. I turn to the right, leaning across a rail, trying not to be visible, showing my frustration to my pals and new guests. In doing so, I slowly recognize a very large man in a nice suit sitting two booths across me. It was only Bobby Splashley. The waitress led us to our table, passing by two teenagers in Ziggler and McIntyre shirts. We sat down and I tell the other two what I just saw. Mind you, neither care or know about wrestling. My mate only came to hang out with me. I expressed how I wanted to go say hello to Bobby, but couldn't muster up the courage. It was thanks to the homeless man's encouragement that I eventually got up. I walked over to Bobby and said, hello, Mr. Lashley. I'm a big fan of yours since TNA. Thank you for everything. He said he appreciated that and did a fist bump. I didn't want to bother him or ask him for a picture as he was playing on his phone before I approached him, and I figured the other two fans had already approached him. Thanks for reading out this email. I hope you all had a great time with Ready to Rumble on May 7th. I'll be having a good time with my first legal drinks, as that would be my 21st birthday. Any recommendations of your favorite whiskey, scotch, or bourbons? Thank you for the great content. Julian from the US of A. Ooh. Oh, is that might be a question for you. Are you a bourbon man or a whiskey
not
man?
Not really, no. I'm generally a vodka man if I have to drink spirits. It's normally cider and then vodka. Or rum. Those are my drinks, really. Mm-hmm. Not too into whiskey or gin or anything else, really. Jack Daniels, like Jack Daniels and honey. Honey JD is great.
Yeah, Honey JD, that's the only whiskey I've ever enjoyed. In fact, Laurie and I were talking about this on the podcast, and someone came up to at that screening of Ready to Rumble, who was a Canadian. He'd come from Canada, not specifically for the screening. I think he had like organized a trip to London, and this was part of the trip. But he brought across some maple syrup.
Yeah,
and he said, you need to put this in whiskey. Like, this is what you need to drink within whiskey. Mm-hmm. So that's my only recommendation I've got for you. And it's from a lovely Canadian man who said, put this in your whiskey.
Yeah, why not? So if it works with honey, I would imagine maple syrup also does the same job.
Absolutely. So better. There you go. Maple syrup is the answer.
Absolutely. It's the answer to everything.
Yeah. I mean, funny enough, actually, because me and Laurie are doing the Money in the Bank live stream for WrestleTalk this coming Sunday. I was thinking of bringing that maple syrup with me so that me and Laurie could try it on the live stream.
That'd be great.
Then I remembered we have got to do a Wrestle Ramble record afterwards as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, so I can't be drinking too much.
No,
maybe we'll
exactly.
do it as like a little sample thing.
Yeah, but maybe have like a small glass.
Yes.
And then continue with your water and other healthy drinks.
Water. And a cup of tea. Yeah. Party! let's have this one last Rusev hey before we get into the main show. This comes in from Jacob, who says, dear Luke, Ollie, El Fagador, Pete, et al., but absolutely not Lord Randall, son of a dat. I recently had an awkward encounter of my life when I walked into the offices of the BBC Radio Norfolk in the fine city of Norwich. Aha! I opened the door, and who should I be sitting directly ahead of me but none other than the hardcore legend Mick Foley, who gave us a lovely shout-out at Ready to Rumble.
Foley
was appearing on one of the shows to promote his upcoming appearance at WAW Fightmare, the promotion owned and operated by Paige's family, Dan and Kara Rode, in June. I was completely starstruck and I had no idea what to do, so I eventually settled on walking up to him, gushing about how he's one of my all-time favourite wrestlers and making a total fool of myself. Eventually, one of the radio hosts saved me when he offered to take a picture of me and Mick, and I left him with one final embarrassing line, which I told him to Have a nice day.
Oh.
I know. I'm terrible. I may have gotten into a trouble with my bosses for making such a fuss over Mick, but it was totally worth it to talk to one of the best of all time and even get a picture with him. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I still can't fully believe it happened. Keep up the amazing work, and a big shout-out to all the fantastic writers at WrestleTalk.com who do an incredible job at maintaining my go-to wrestling news website. Kind regards. And there is our buddy Jacob here with the Micker.
There he is. With pictures. Lovely.
Absolutely. Pics, or it did not happen, and you sent those pics, so it did happen.
Absolutely did.
Strapping young lad, you look there, Jacob, class, as well. Fantastic. We'll do some more. We've got one more Rusev of hate to do in the outro portion of this podcast. But before that, we're going to be talking NXT and the state of the tag title division, which have now been vacated, I guess. Here's the show. Laurie's not here today. Laurie has got the same illness that Ollie had on Monday and the same illness I had over the weekend that has kind of put a lot of us out of commission. So Pete has stepped in.
And the same illness that I haven't got yet.
Oh,
so
it's on its way.
Please don't. I don't want to take any more time off.
Look, dude, I'm annoyed that I don't take time off from this job and I got ill on one of my days off. The bloody weekends.
Of course.
Everyone else gets ill during the week. They get a day off work. Me, no. Bloody Saturday.
Selfish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this is the post-NXT Wrestle Ramble, which is sponsored by our own bloody magazine. Go ahead and buy our own bloody magazine. It's good. Bloody terrific. It features excellent, excellent articles in there, including the women's top 50. But we're going to kick things off talking about the NXT tag team title situation. Now, last week, we saw the Forgotten Sons attack the War Raiders. Prior to that, we saw the Street Profits kind of take, the Viking Raiders. Take the Viking Raiders to their utmost.
To the limit.
To the limit. That's the word I was after. Thank you very much, Pete. It's why you're here.
Yep.
Took them to the limit. And this week, the Viking Raiders. came out and said, the Kabuki Warriors came out and said, hey, no one can beat us. And actually, I thought they were getting some like fairly heel heats for this as well.
They were.
I mean, their heels up on Raw and on Raw rather, but they've been very much baby faces in NXT. But they were kind of healing it up slightly, but also getting heel reactions from the crowd.
Absolutely, and I found it curious. I don't know at what point these episodes were taped. At what point was the name change apparent for these ones? Was it already Viking Raiders before this one was taped?
Yes, it was. Yeah. So they had done the taping where they faced Street Profits.
Yes.
That was taped prior to their Raw debut. So they were still War Raiders on that show.
Right.
But this was the latest set of tapings since after they debuted and they got the new name.
Would they have been Viking Experience at the time of they taped this, or Viking Raiders?
Viking Raiders, I think, because it says Viking Raiders on the Tron when they come out.
But that's what I mean, though. On the Raw, they would have been Viking Experience / Raiders. I'm just curious to see whether it was this crowd's first time of having the Viking Raiders name and then being like, and maybe that's why they were being a bit like, boo, you've got another name.
No,
like,
I think this had come out or been taped after that had happened. I think, anyway.
Yeah.
Randy, if you can look into that for us, that'd be very helpful.
Okay. That'd be grand. Thanks, man. I still think, though, that, yes, they were getting some heel reactions. And I don't know whether that's anything to do with the main roster or something.
I think it was more just because they were saying that we're vacating the belts.
Yeah.
I think people wanted to see a title change.
Absolutely, yeah. And I can understand the reaction of them being like, no one can beat us. Here's the titles. Everyone goes, boo! We want someone to beat you on the way out. We want you to, you know, have a good match on the way out. But I think they were even getting slightly heel reactions even before they made that announcement, which was quite curious.
Yeah, essentially they were just like, you know, no one can beat us. Mm. We've beaten all there is. So we're just calling out William Regal. William Regal comes out and they just hand him the tag titles.
Yeah.
But before they can make it official, the Street Profits come down.
Big
and
pop.
Big pop. And I think it was when the Profits came out, I think this NXT crowd thought, okay, so Street Profits are going to be tag champs by the end of this taping.
Absolutely.
Like, they're going to win those belts. And that was quite evident by the main event of this show as well. And the Street Profits says that, like, hey, you know, we know, like, we lost the last time we faced, but we know we can beat you. And deep down, you know we can beat us, Viking Raiders. And then Angelo Dawkins pauses and says, if that is your real name.
Oh, what a great line. What a great line.
The crowd. Oh.
Really loved great. It. I put in my notes, in all capitals, Angelo Dawkins, lad. loved awesome. It. It was such a good moment.
And I thought, I mean, I like Angelo Dawkins, but I love me some Montez Ford. I thought Ford was awesome. And they really goaded the Raiders into giving them the match.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the Raiders take back their belts and they demand William Regal make the match. And William Regal makes the match for later on that night. And Street Profits were super over.
They were really over. And I loved when he announced and he said, right, later tonight we're going to have the Viking Raiders defending their tag team championships against, and he kind of paused it for a second, the Street Profits, and Montez Ford celebrated like he'd already won the titles. Literally going around, it's like, yeah, come on!
It's like he cried.
He's nearly crying, like dancing around the ring. It was like, you haven't won yet, mate, but yeah, no, it was great. Loved it.
We also had, I'm just trying to find where it is in my notes, because there was a moment when Kathy Kelly was standing outside William Regal's office about something, and then the
she confirmed it was Io Shirai versus Shayna Baszler. That
there it is, and the Forgotten Sons walk up. There it is, Van Manes now, and then the Forgotten Sons walk up and say, "How have the Street Profits stolen our NXT tag team title shots?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair
enough.
You beat up the War Raiders last week.
Yeah.
And you didn't lose to a tag match to them.
Exactly.
You were the finalist in the Dusty. But the Street Profits were knocked out first round.
Yeah,
you guys
exactly.
made it to the final.
Yeah, they've got a legitimate grievance.
They said, and then I think it was Cutler was like, "We've been forgotten again."
Classic.
And and then Jackson was like, "And we'll make sure they never forget us." And I'm like, this forgotten thing gets hammered home a bit too much.
It's a little bit much, isn't it?
And and that's when I turn off a little bit on the Forgotten Sons, because I'm turning a corner on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were actually had a really good showing in the Dusty Classic, and I've been kind of enjoying a lot of their work, and I like their intensity, and I really like Jackson Ryker. But then when they're given these sort of promo things where they're like, "We will not be forgotten,"
yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, come on, guys.
You're on every week's show. You're clearly not that forgotten."
It's just hammering home the point and not doing it very subtly.
Exactly,
it's like
a
giant hammer and a giant nail.
Exactly, yeah.
Bit much. But then we got our main event, which I thought was a heck of a lot of fun, but did not see this finish coming.
Because I'm an idiot. It was so obvious that the Forgotten Sons were going to come out and interrupt. But I don't know what part of me in my brain was just being like, I just forgot that segment happened. And I just thought, Street Profits are going to be tag champs at the end of this episode. Way awesome. So I was getting really into this match. I loved it. The small time they had, I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
But I was just an idiot, because I definitely should have seen this finish coming.
I think you're an idiot for it. It just really made me laugh when you came in this morning. You were like, "Yep, I'm an idiot." I don't know how I didn't see that coming. They literally telegraphed it earlier
in
the show.
They really did. It was so obvious.
But yeah, this match was very, very high octane, very high pace. A lot like the match they had a couple of weeks ago. Only this time it's kind of flipped round, whereas the Street Profits got the early advantage on the Raiders last time by attacking them during their entrance. The Raiders were kind of like ready for it because they did the big introduction and they just went to town on these guys. And it led to, this match didn't go that long.
No.
I'd say probably what, five?
5 minutes.
Six minutes. Yeah, exactly. If that. And then, but in that, they had like multiple near falls.
Yeah.
A heat spot,
so good.
Some hot tags.
Yeah.
It was absolutely awesome.
Yeah, it was astounding what they managed to fit into that.
And I love the dueling cartwheels that Dawkins and Hansen did. I thought that was so good. They had the moment where, like, where the Raiders were like really on top, and they set up to do the Viking Experience finisher.
Mm-hmm.
Dawkins bowls in and spears Row out of the way, and I was like, "Oh, this is amazing!"
Yep.
And then Montez Ford hits that frog splash.
For about 17 miles in the air.
Ludicrous. I don't know how he does it.
It is insane how much height he gets.
He's got legs made of springs that are like tight.
Yeah. And I don't get it. It was even earlier when they do their big pop-up slam thing. They threw up Montez Ford, and again, he went up into the sky and back. It's like, he can't be that light. Like, my God, like, it threw him up into the atmosphere before he came back down.
I think he is 30% helium.
He must be. It's absolutely ridiculous.
He's got some helium in his body at some point, because he flies around like no one's business.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But then, the Forgotten Sons come down and cause the DQ. Boo.
Boo hiss.
And then the Raiders kind of wipe everyone out, and Hansen does a big flip dive off the apron onto the Forgotten Sons. Like, Rowe grabs Ford by the throat.
He screams.
And he just goes... It was really, really great.
It was amazing. So funny.
But then the Street Profits hit their sort of like big neckbreaker doomsday device thing.
Blockbustery thing, whatever it is. Yep.
And they count their own pin.
Yeah.
Effectively pinning the War Raiders after the bell had already rung. And you got Nigel going like, that was a fast count anyway. Yeah. It wasn't a legitimate pin. The bell's already rung. And then you had, like, because you also had, within all this melee, you had Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch run out as well to kind of like, and they were having this big old scuffle. But oddly, at least I found oddly, once the Street Profits had done their bit and left the ramp, the War Raiders just wiped everyone out.
Yeah. For some reason.
Yeah, they just hit all their big moves and, like, killed the Forgotten Sons and killed Burch and Lorcan and then just lay down the belts, bowed to the crowd, and the show went off the air.
Yeah.
And I was like, huh. I can only think of two examples now in NXT. And if you can think of anything else, please do let us know. I thought of another one. Please let us know in the comments of someone who has gone up to the main roster but had been put over this strong before going up. So Asuka went up undefeated.
Of course, undefeated and had to vacate a women's championship.
And Lars Sullivan. Because Sullivan beat Keith Lee on like his last night in NXT. They taped it before, I can't remember which takeover it was now, the January one. And Sullivan beat Keith Lee on NXT TV.
Yeah.
And then you got the War Raiders, Viking Raiders, going up to the main roster, not losing the NXT tag titles, and like killing two big teams from the tag team division on the way out. It's very, very weird.
So strange to me because I get character-wise that the Forgotten Sons have a grievance and they'd want to... Did you just spill that all over yourself?
Well, no, I spilled it on the floor.
That's impressive. I get as...
I'm also an idiot.
Character-wise, Forgotten Sons would want to interrupt this match because they should be owed a championship shot and yada yada and all that stuff. If you're going to have the Viking Raiders go up to the main roster and you're going to have the Street Profits visually pin them after the match... Let them pin them. Like, just let them win.
Yeah.
Just let them win the belts. I don't see the point of having a screwy finish and then the Street Profits getting a visual pin and then the War Raiders getting their heat back afterwards. It's just all this crisscrossing storytelling. It's like, what's the actual point of this? Who goes over after this? Like,
yeah, it's one of those rare missteps in NXT.
Yeah.
Where by the end of the angle, I was left a bit cold by the whole thing. Because I'm there looking, I was like, well, okay, when the Street Profits... You know, they got the visual pin, so that's great. So they got their quote win over the Raiders. That's fine. But if you are now trying to push Burch and Lorcan or the Forgotten Sons into a tag title scene, I'm like, well, they just got the beaten up.
Yeah,
like they just like, and they had the advantage more or less. Like, you know, they all got laid to waste. So it's and I'm not saying that they should have just buried the Raiders as they went out.
No, absolutely not.
But I, as you said, like if you're going to give the Street Profits that big moment, why not have them win the titles on this show and then build to another tag match down the road? Build something with the Forgotten Sons where they're like, you stole that. Like, those should be our titles. You shouldn't have had that match in the first place. We've been once again forgotten. Mm-hmm. And we should have this shot now. And you can build a little feud coming out of that. At the moment, I don't think the Forgotten Sons came off this looking particularly great.
No, it's weird because there's three of them and they come out and interrupt this match. The Street Profits go off and do their thing. So now that's the three of them and the two... Viking Raiders and the two of Lorcan and Burch, who are all fighting together, you'd think they have an advantage. They have one more person than either of the other teams, and then they just get wiped out by the Viking Raiders anyways. It's just like, it just came off a bit weird. The only other thing that I'm thinking is that they're not vacating the titles. They're still in NXT. It was a strange ending if they laid down the titles and bowed, but, I mean, they did that as a sign of respect to Black and Ricochet at the last takeover. Mm. They laid the titles down and then they bowed to them. And I was like, right, that's the same thing they did before, but they're bowing to the crowd and they were heels, maybe? It was a strange thing. And I was like, but it just seems so sudden if that was their last appearance, if they did actually vacate the titles and they're gone now, it seemed a bit strange for them to just be like, titles bow, cut off the air. You'd think they kind of have that moment for a bit longer of them putting the titles down, they get a round of applause from the crowd, with the crowd, give them a bow, and then they kind of walk off, and that would be the end. And they'll be like, oh, so they vacate the titles and they're off. Now I'm just like, have they? It was just a really abrupt ending for it to just be like, that's the end.
Yeah,
like,
it's not the worst show in the world. I mean, they said at the start of the show that we do want to vacate these titles, but you said like the celebration is not too dissimilar to the one they had at TakeOver New York.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it is just they haven't vacated the titles, but hence the question mark.
The question mark's
in this title. And, yeah, they are just going to carry on. So I don't know. I think it'll be very interesting leading towards TakeOver 25, mm-hmm. where the tag title situation is. But if this is the Raiders' last night on NXT, I'm not hugely keen on them beating up. Because, like, Burch and Larkin look like absolute jokes in all of this. Like, they got nothing. They came down and just got beaten up. Yeah. They were literally there just to be beaten up.
Exactly.
At least the Forgotten Sons caused a DQ.
Exactly.
But even then, they as you say, all three of them got wiped out by the Raiders.
Yeah.
It felt very weird for me, and I felt quite cold by the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I still love the Street Profits, and I did have a lot of fun while watching the match. I think I'd have just liked to have seen, I think I'd have loved to have seen a proper takeover match between mm-hmm. Street Profits and Raiders.
Exactly.
Not
yeah.
two matches that we've had on NXT TV.
Exactly.
I think that'd been amazing.
If it wasn't for that ending of them laying the titles out and then bowing to the crowd, I literally put in my notes before that, I was like, oh, they're leading to a four-way at the takeover between the Raiders, Forgotten Sons, Street Profits, and Larkin and Burch. And I was like, oh, that's a cool build they're doing because they're getting all the teams mixed up and that's cool for the next takeover. But then they did the title thing and I was like, or maybe not. Yeah. I'm really confused now.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to have it spoiled, you can go read the spoiler updates, but we try to stay clear of those. Hence, like, if you're thinking, oh, why don't these guys know?
Yeah.
We know what, like, I think most of the lineup is already known for TakeOver 25. I think mm-hmm. about all the matches known. Not reading the spoilers. We're trying to keep everything as spoiler-free as possible.
Absolutely. Dig, diggity, dog.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yes, it's time to shout out to some of our $25 and above Patreon pledge hammers. If you want to be part of those and join Wrestle League, head on over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and you can get your name shouted out in the Wrestle Ramble in a fun little format with a fun little nickname that I sometimes, well, in fact, I always have to come up with, and that's why sometimes they're very labored and a bit rubbish. Like this one, Jeremy Spoken, Class Today Smith. And you get a round of applause.
Yeah. Hall of Mania, Patrick Hall.
There he is.
Hall of Mania.
Cool like a summer breeze. Chris Summerfield.
Yeah. Lovely stuff. Scott Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
He's better than Deadpool.
Like a ninja, Shadow Noskoviak.
Yeah,
good effort. Good effort.
Cliff Bridges over troubled waters.
Oh, I didn't even sing it, Randy. It's your gimmick. You didn't even
sing
it. And the Rob Steiner recliner. Oh, it's a tough move. Can't get out of it.
Good. Better than Bill Dennis Hicks.
That's me every time I read that one out.
Big sexy Jimmy Genslinger.
Oh, hell yes, big sexy. Fallen down at Darien Wells.
Labored. Jezek Maxwell Silver Hammer.
It's another song that no one sung. I keep giving people songs that they don't sing them.
I don't know.
Duncan's.
Their songs.
Just Duncan.
Yeah, Just Duncan. It's a Beatles song. Ollie missed that one as well. The incredible Tarzo.
Yeah.
Oh, he is incredible.
Nate. Drop surname.
I don't get it. It's a patron reporting thing and it made me laugh.
Michael Charles Montgomery Burns.
Oh, woo! Excellent. Excellent.
But the rest, the Viking thing you were talking about earlier. So I think these shows were taped quite recently. So, but then the last tapings before that were the 10th of April, and the War Raiders or the Viking Experience debuted on the 15th of April.
Yeah.
So I think they were still War Raiders up until now.
Yeah, that match they had with the Prophets a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
they were still War Raiders at that point, like they were announced as such. But then they did the tapings after they had their name changed to Viking Raiders.
Yeah,
right.
Cool. And super chats, just a handful here. We've got a Small Afro Games.
Jaron Walker.
I feel that if finishers didn't exist, match endings would be more unpredictable and shocking. It'd feel like a real fight that could end at any time.
Yeah, but I like finishers. Mm. Like, I've always liked a finisher. And I get your point, but I prefer... Yeah, no, I don't think I'd ever want to get rid of finishes.
I feel like it builds up to it as well.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I wouldn't want to get rid of them. I can see your point of having the unpredictability of just not knowing when a match is going to end. And you could invest in pretty much every near fall within reason. But, like, no, finishes are too good. Yeah. you can't get rid of finishes.
Also, I think finishes help people get over.
True. Yeah. Very true.
Actually, can I also just say to Jade Lai Roxon, can you please stop asking me to wear nothing but the Wrestle Talk magazine, because that's not going to happen. despite asking me to every fifth message. But I'm sorry about that. Lucas Mildrum says, completely unrelated to NXT, but is anyone else getting sick of the Corey Byron arguments on commentary? Our muted SmackDown was plain awful this week.
Yeah, we talked about this on the SmackDown review yesterday, but yeah, Corey and Byron arguing is, particularly when it's a Shane McMahon angle, is unlistenable. It's just bickering noise, and I can't be dealing with it.
Yeah, I think the only time that Byron's been good has been during the Kofi storyline and the build-up to Mania.
During the Kofi
stuff. During Kofi stuff, he's been great. Corey is fine when he's not bickering with Byron.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Like, when they start telling Corey to have a go at Byron all the time, it's dreadful.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's no one enjoys that.
No. It's like when JBL used to belittle David O'Tunga all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's unlistenable stuff.
No, it's pointless.
William Buena, no message, but two little donations. So
thank you very much.
Arnie3444 says, I redact my... Go Randy merch, as he offended me as a Norwegian guy. Best regards, coolest guy ever. That is a reference to the fact that I said that Swedish people are the best, being Swedish.
It's just a
rivalry that I'll always be, I'm afraid.
And you're both Liverpool fans as well, so you really, Arnie, you really should be on your side.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
You're not really, though, are you? Are you?
Yes.
Let's move on.
I almost went to Madrid.
It's not the Randy show. Let's move on.
Jobber JJ496 says, Montez Ford for the WWE Championship. Hashtag Street Profits.
I've been saying this since day dot of them being together. I was like, that man right there is a future WWE champion. Yeah. I think Montez Ford is absolute money.
He's great.
I think he's so it's good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Although we were having a chat this morning when you were in the office, me and housemate Simon, about how we're slightly concerned. I mean, this goes for pretty much all NXT call-ups, really. But
true.
I'm more concerned for the Profits than I am any other team or act in NXT going up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Because it feels like the sort of act that has its roots are in the right place and its heart is in the completely right place. And it is just their personalities blown up to 11. But as soon as you go to the main roster, they'll be like, oh, what's the gimmick? They're African-American.
It's crime time.
And they just do crime time.
Yeah.
And that's a real concern. Where they just look at me and be like, oh, it's crime time again. Let's do that.
Yeah.
And that's completely not what their characters are.
Let's have them embarrass Lita on her way out of the company.
God, that segment. That segment's bad.
It's horrible.
So I think it'd be very, very unfair to the Profits to bring them up and just say, like, oh, you're now crime time again.
Yeah, do that. Exactly. Yeah.
That'd be awful.
The Cosmic Anvil has donated with no message other than
he
did say to me earlier that he's no longer my fan. So
he did. He emailed in to say, because you don't reply to any of his emails.
I've literally never had an email from him.
Yeah, like,
it's probably because he emails to randy@wrestletalk.com rather than Andy.
.com. If it goes to my spam, that's probably just indicative of the messages you're sending. Matt Dennis says, seeing Andrade versus Balor was awesome as an NXT fan. Almost felt like a battle of NXT eras. Why doesn't commentary play up on people's NXT accomplishments more?
Well, it's quite an easy answer for that one. Yeah, it's because Vince McMahon is telling them what to say and he doesn't care about NXT.
Yeah, so this is it's an audience of one. It's what WWE is made for. And he doesn't watch NXT. He apparently, the report is, he will occasionally watch a takeover. So they come up and you can tell them that they're multi-time NXT tag team champions or NXT champions or whatnot. But to Vince, it doesn't matter. He doesn't care. That's why.
Once you hit the main roster, you start all over again. NXT doesn't matter.
Exactly, you get the reset button. But I agree with you. I think it does. It should feel like that should be a big deal. It's two former NXT champions clashing.
Exactly.
But that's not the way that they see it.
No, not at all, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Diana Michaels says, thoughts on NXT potentially signing Nick Hurts? I have no idea who that is.
I have no idea.
Googling
live
on air.
We're all doing it.
Well, I wasn't. I was going to move on. But not like, you know, not in a rude way or anything like that. But I was going to get you to Google it while we chatted.
Luxury real estate agents and brokers. Don't think it's them.
I can't find anything other than...
It could be.
Other than realty.
Let's move on.
Yeah, we'll do some more research. We'll get Randy to look into that while we're doing the main review. But have we got any other super chats, Randy?
We have just one more from Nelson CEP. No message, but a little donation.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. Right, well, let's crack on with the main review itself. Because the show opened, this was the start of the new set of tapings, because Mauro and Nigel opened the show to announce that Percy Watson has left the commentary booth. I don't think he's going to massively be missed.
No, I wouldn't say so. It's a shame because I didn't hate Percy. I thought he was fine. He was good. That's a shame.
But I feel that, so the replacement is Beth Phoenix, as Mauro said, is the youngest ever WWE Hall of Famer. I just feel that based on this show, Beth is going to fill the role that Percy did, which is, I don't know if they said anything on the whole show.
I've got a quote from Beth later on in the show. You wait. It's a good one.
At the end of it, by the time the show had finished, I'd forgot that Beth was on commentary.
Yeah.
Because and I had this with Percy as well. I always notice when Mauro's doing commentary. I always notice when Nigel's doing commentary. Mm-hmm. But they have been takeovers where Percy has said nothing the whole show.
Yeah.
Or because they're not adding anything. And again, we've said this about all commentators. It's never their fault. It's the way that they're produced. It's your turn to speak now. You have to say something. Push this. Say this. Do this. And I feel that Mauro and Nigel have got such a good chemistry rapport that they just talk to each other. And then the third person there, the third wheel, essentially just has to wait for someone to say, like, oh, can you say this now?
Yeah.
And that's what you get. And it's a real shame as well, because I don't think Percy ever really had like much of a chance to do anything else.
No, exactly. I think that the time that I noticed Percy the most, when I think Nigel was off because he was like ill or something, so it was just Mauro and Percy. And I was like, oh, Percy's actually a pretty good commentator. Yeah. Like, he's not bad.
He does all right.
But as a third person, he didn't really shine, unfortunately. But
yeah, well, it's a three-man booth for you. Yeah. Then we got the Viking Raiders segment with Regal, and we got a recap of Matthew Riddle versus Adam Cole from last week, and great, great match that was.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, you see see the WWE.com clip of Strong and Cole arguing after the match, and Strong taking off his armband and throwing it at Cole in the t-shirt and everything like that.
Yeah.
And then we got an interview with Kathy Kelly.
Just before that, sorry. There was an advert for Money in the Bank, which was quite curious for me because they were showing some of the former cash-ins, and they showed Seth Rollins and his Mania cash-in, and they showed Alexa Bliss. They never showed Ronda Rousey, though, in the thing, because it was Alexa Bliss that cashed in and she hit Ronda Rousey with a briefcase and then cashed in. All the other cash-ins that they showed who they cashed in on. But Alexa Bliss showed Alexa's coming with a briefcase and Alexa's pinning Nia Jax and Alexa wins. And it was just like, why didn't they have Ronda in that thing? It was a weird omission from the video. I was like, huh.
She still is very much on good terms with WWE. She was at the upfronts this week for like the Fox deal.
Exactly,
represent
WWE. So I know
WWE.
She's in the good books. It's like, why wouldn't they put her in there? It's Ronda Rousey of all people. Like, I don't know. Like, it was weird.
Very interesting, yeah. I'll be honest with you. When the Money in the Bank out, I was using that little forward 10 seconds button.
forward.
I'm not here to see adverts, mate. That's what I go to Wrestle Ramble for.
I had time this morning because I got all my work done yesterday because I was really good. Yeah.
Then we got Kathy Kelly interviewing the Undisputed Era, but without Roderick Strong. Cole said, I don't know where Strong is. And then all of a sudden, like, in the background, some guy just runs past them. And Kathy gets a little bit distracted. Cole gets a bit distracted. The cameraman gets a little,
ooh, okay.
And then, like, you're like, oh, okay, that was a bit weird. And then two more people run past. And you're like, what's going on here? And Cole kind of, like, continues his promo, but I'm not really taking any of it in.
Yep.
All of a sudden, Roderick Strong walks up and he says, hey, that Matthew Riddle, he ain't going to be a problem anymore. And he holds up a bloody flip-flop. Not as in the way I would say, like a bloody flip-flop, but a flip-flop that was covered in blood.
It was cool, honestly.
It was cool, yeah.
I was super into this.
And then you start putting the pieces together. It's like, oh, Roddy should attack. And that's why they were running
to Riddle.
It's a really well-constructed segment.
Yeah.
I really like
it. And it genuinely felt like chaotic in a sense of just like, oh, we're just cutting this promo and these people just start running behind. You're just like, what? Huh? It feels like a proper world, a lot more than Raw and SmackDown do, when it's this person is here and this person is here and they never speak or whatever. They're just in separate parts of the building. This felt like we're cutting a promo here, but meanwhile, this other thing is happening. Obviously, it was part of the segment and that's why they had it in the same place, but it does make it feel like a lot more of a fleshed out location and world that they have for NXT, which I really like.
Yeah.
Because it makes them feel like real people that are there in a building.
Completely agree. Yeah. I really, really like this. Speaking of other things that I like, Keith Lee's back in action.
Oh,
our boy.
Basket is glory.
Wrestle Talk fan Keith Lee was in action against Cesar Bononi. And this was a hoss match for the short time that it went. It was there because Keith hasn't been around for a little while because that feud he was meant to have with Donovan Dijakovic.
There we go.
Started and then just
Dominic
sort of,
Dijakovic.
What did I say? Oh, Donovan. Oh, so close. Donovan Dijak. I mixed the two names.
So close.
It started because they had that amazing fight that ended in the double countout, but then Lee got injured and now Dijak is injured. And it just feels like these two are sort of struggling to get back on in the ring together. And they kind of like did some teasers for it on TV. They announced it multiple times.
Yeah, they did.
It's never happened. So this was Keith Lee's first time on TV in feels like ages since he's been back.
Mm.
And this crowd was delighted to see him.
They were. Huge reactions for Lee.
Massively reactions. Big chance of basking his glory.
Yeah.
This was wonderful.
It was.
And I was really happy to see Keith get this reaction.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I liked on commentary as well. They were saying, oh, we had this feud with Dominic Dijakovic, but Dijakovic is injured now, and Lee was injured before, and now Dijakovic is injured. When will these two get back in the ring together? So it's good that NXT hasn't forgotten about that feud either. And they haven't just been like, well, I guess because Lee's injured, we just won't do that match anymore, and then we'll just move on. It's good that, hopefully, once Dijakovic is back, they're going to put them back together and actually have that blow-off match. Hopefully at a TakeOver.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, at a TakeOver.
It'd be so good.
so good.
Yeah.
Bononi beat down Lee kind of early on, but then Lee, like, he grabs the wrist. And boy, howdy, did he maintain wrist control.
It was the Okada special right there.
It really was. And then Lee just starts wiping out Bononi with like the pounce and stuff and hits a ginormous spirit bomb for the win.
Yeah, it's so good.
And my notes really are just like, it's so nice to see Keith Lee back in a wrestling ring. It was just great to see him back in NXT.
I loved watching him fire up at the end because he kind of, after he maintained wrist control, and the other guy, Bononi, started to try and hit him down and break that grip he had on his wrist. There we go, there words. We go. And then Lee just kind of fired back and started shouting back. It was like, "Whoa!" Just like running up. I was like, "This is awesome! Yeah, I love Lee."
Lee's amazing.
I love it because he's obviously quite like cocky and confident when he walks down to the ring. He's just like, "Yeah, Baskin's Glory." He's got a nice like swagger to him. Mm. Then when he gets serious and he fires up, I'm like, "Yes, I like this even more!" Like, yeah, he's great.
Is incredibly charismatic. He is. Keith Lee.
Yeah,
an he's absolute fantastic. Superstar in the making.
But he should be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Recap of Shayna Baszler getting attacked by Io Shirai last week, and then Kathy Kelly is outside of the office, and that's when they announced that Shayna Baszler is going to defend her NXT Women's Championship against Io Shirai at TakeOver 25.
Very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, I feel like that's the time to put the belt
definitely
on Shirai.
Definitely should be the time for Shirai. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's time for Shirai to shrine. You're welcome.
Nope.
Speaking of things that are fine, Kona Reeves, Tesco's finest, is back in action this week, and he's taking on the time splitter himself, Kushida. I didn't think I noticed this the first time when I was watching the entrance of Kushida. But yeah, it's the wrist tap that he does. So he does this big entrance, and it's got these sort of like purple lights and everything, and he's wearing the Back to the Future Part 2 glasses and things like that. And then he gets up onto the top rope, and then he looks at his watch, which is tape. It's wrist tape with a clock drawn on it, the same as the Hill Valley clock. And he taps it, and the lights go out. I didn't notice this last time. And then he looks at it again, taps it again, and the lights go back up. I was like, this is the best thing ever. These the rules. I love this.
See, I watched that, and he did the tapping thing, and the lights went down, and then tapped it, and the lights came back up. And I was like, that was a bit weird. That was a bit unnecessary, really, wasn't it?
Loved it. And then Mauro was sort of about, he said 1.21 gigawatts. It's 1.21 gigawatts.
1.21.
Come on, Mauro. It's the way
Christ.
It's said.
Yeah.
And Nigel was making his Back to the Future. So, I love Kushida anyway, because I think Kushida is an incredible wrestler. Like, he is so, so good. The match, check out any of his matches from the Best of the Super Juniors, last year and the year previous, I believe it was. And the match, with Will Ospreay last year for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. Just, mind-blowingly great stuff.
Yeah.
I'm also a massive Back to the Future fan. In fact, I'm wearing a Back to the Future t-shirt today in honor of Kushida, because I think Kushida's great, and it's Back to the Future Part 2, which is one of my faves. And this was a lot of fun. This was Kushida, essentially just another showcase match for him. They've completely given up on Kona Reeves.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
He had that two-week push, and the main roster, they've just given up on him. He's been he's not getting over. Let's be done with this.
It's really strange, because when I watched Reeves make his entrance, I was like, there's nothing outwardly wrong about it. I'm not looking at it. I'm just like, oh, this is rubbish. This is, why is he even here? Oh, it's terrible. I'm like, no, he's decent. He's not great, but he's not terrible. I've definitely seen worse people pushed than him before. So it's Baron Corbin. And I wouldn't say I wouldn't say it's unfair, the treatment he's getting, because wouldn't say that. But I think he does need to improve just that little bit more before we can start taking him seriously. But, he's not bad. I'll give him that. Yeah. He's not bad.
He's just not the finest.
Exactly. No, he's definitely not the finest.
Do you know what it is? I think I know why it is you're not connecting with him. He's not tapping his wrists when
that's
he gets
definitely
into the
that,
ring.
And, yeah,
and the lights don't go out when he does it.
Of course.
That's the key to it. That's how you get over in NXT.
This match was where I had my quote from Beth Phoenix, which I really enjoyed. It's great, great fun. So it's quite a common thing where you have a smaller guy, you want to take the bigger guy down so you can, work him over on the floor, because then they can't use their power as well. Great quote from Beth when she said, it's a great strategy from Kushida. You're not 6'8" when you're on the ground.
Hey, she's got a point.
I mean, you are 6'8" when you're on the ground. You're just lying down. You're still 6'8".
Still 6'8", aren't you?
I know what she meant. Bit of wrong wording, but bless she tried.
I think Nigel corrected her as well. He basically said the same thing. Yeah. It was a smarter way of
smarter
saying it.
Smarter way in that.
Bless her heart. Not
she tried.
Debut.
She
does try.
Yeah.
What a warrior. and I would say as well, one reason I really like this match is that this is the total opposite of a main roster big guy versus little guy match. You look at Ricochet, Baron Corbin from Raw, or any of Finn Balor's matches last year, which is just that the taller lad is bigger. Obviously, the taller lad just does the big stuff, and then the smaller guy does some flippity-doos and tries to get out of it. This was very back and forth, and it was all about Kushida working very smartly to get Kona Reeves down to size, using his quickness to his advantage. And it just was really nice to see. This is what I like. This is what you want to see. Well, for me personally, this is what I want to see from the big guy versus little guy matches.
Absolutely, because it puts them on an equal footing. It's not like, well, the big guy is obviously better and the small guy has so many odds to overcome. It's just like, no, they just wrestle in different styles because they're different sizes.
Yeah.
That's all it is. The big guy does big power moves and the small guy has a speed and agility, and they both work in equal ways. They're both as good strategies as each other.
Yeah.
It works so well when they do it properly.
I like the fact that...
Just do it better.
I like the fact that Kushida took over with cartwheels and handsprings. Like, that's basically his comeback was cartwheels and handspring.
Cartwheel, handspring,
including doing
douche.
A handspring at one point as a kick. It was great.
Yeah, it was really
cool. Just went up to the handspring and booted him in the face. Yeah. It was terrific. And then he did the penalty kick and locked in the hoverboard lock for the win. But really, the story of this is that Drew Gulak came out onto the stage to stare down Kushida.
Mm.
So I am thinking that we'll end up with Kushida versus Drew Gulak on the pre-show, essentially, for TakeOver 25, which will then air the following week on NXT TV. So it'll be like it'll feel like a big-time match because it'll be in front of a big crowd, but it won't be on the TakeOver show itself. It'll be on the week after.
Yeah, and hopefully they get a little bit of time for that because I think that could be a really good match.
Me too, absolutely. That will be a stretchy match because they will be doing various amounts of submissions to try and stretch each other out.
I've got in my notes, in a much larger font, Kushida to 205 Live confirmed.
That's a terrible idea. We had
Don't do that.
Was it a super chat? Was it an email? I think it was a super chat that came in yesterday that was like, oh yeah, we had a really good time at SmackDown, but we had to sit through an hour or 205 Live to get to the dark match. I'm like, this is how
it wasn't
this
even
is
the
how
dark
people
match.
Look at 205.
Because my friends went to the show. It wasn't the dark match they had to wait for. They had to wait for the main event of SmackDown. And they put 205 Live in the middle of it.
Oh, was that what it was?
It was so weird, because they did the whole show, then 205 Live, and then the main event of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus whoever
it was. No, it was just the Kevin Owens and Kofi Kingston confrontation.
No, what was the main event match on SmackDown?
There wasn't a main event match. There was just they did the KO show with Kofi Kingston, and Kevin Owens came down, and they brawled, and Sami Zayn ran down. And they had a big schmoz and ended up with Kofi standing tall. That was what ended the show.
Ignore everything I'm saying.
It was a dark match then.
It was a dark match.
Okay, right.
My friends told me wrong. Never mind.
Got that cleared up. Thank God for that.
Screw you, Liam and Dave and Richie. You guys suck.
Bianca Belair was forcing Charlie Caruso backstage because she was like, you can speak to William Regal. You can get the match changed. Like, he'll listen to you.
Yeah.
And she's trying, and he's like, make sure your microphone's on. We'll do this as a big interview segment. But Mia Yim was walking out of Regal's office. Bianca Belair kind of pushed Kathy Kelly to one side, which makes me hate Bianca Belair even more.
Yep. How dare you put your hands on Kathy Kelly.
How dare you. And then Mia Yim said that she wasn't trying to get a title shot against Shayna Baszler. She was looking to get a rematch against Bianca Belair because Bianca Belair cheated to win last week.
Absolutely.
Nice little segment here.
Mm-hmm.
Then Bianca Belair was like, come on, Kathy, we're going to go speak to Regal. And she walks in and shuts the door on Kathy Kelly. Proper dick move. I thought Belair was terrific in this segment.
I thought it was great and it would work so well. Why can't Kathy Kelly open the door?
I think she was more up, like she was more in. She was indignant that the door was closed. I don't know if that's the right word, but she was just more shocked that the door was closed.
I guess so, yeah. It just looked funny to me because we'd seen earlier Forgotten Sons just walk in. Bianca Belair can just walk into the door and she shuts the door on Kathy Kelly and she's just like, oh no, a door! I'm completely stopped now! I can't go any further!
It's like the aliens from Signs. Oh no, a door! We've made a planet that's 60% water and that's our weakness! Terrible film.
Yeah,
right. Which has a good first two-thirds. But anyway, to be honest, I'm on Kathy Kelly's side on this because I think if that had happened to me, I was just like, that bollocks to you.
Absolutely. If Kathy had just been like, all right, fair enough, and just walked away, that would have been fine. But she just stood there just like, huh?
What? And now what? We then see Riddle being looked at by the medical staff, and Gargano is there kind of looking out for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we find out, what Johnny Gargano announces, that he's going to be taking on Adam Cole for the NXT Championship at TakeOver 25, which should be terrific.
Hope so. I really don't know what's going to happen with Strong. Roderick Strong. Yeah. Really don't know what's going to happen with that because they're supposedly your buddy buds now. Because Strong did that thing with Riddle.
He's back in the Undisputed Era. Actually, we didn't mention that. Sorry, you're absolutely right. We didn't mention that in the other segment. Is that Roddy essentially rejoined the Undisputed Era.
Cole gave him his armband back. And they were all like, come on, let's go. Let's go get a burrito or whatever his Undisputed Era do.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd love to get a burrito with Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly.
That'd be amazing. So they all walked off happy as Larry and they're all friends again. Yay. I just can't see it lasting. Like, I hope it does. I really hope it does. Yeah. But I just think something's going to happen at TakeOver and Roddy Strong's going to, like, cost him or something.
Very interesting year for the era.
Yeah.
Up next, we had the other match that we'll talk about on this, which was Vanessa Bourne versus Jessie. Not the toy from Toy Story 2. But Jessie, who apparently was in the Mae Young Classic. I don't think I watched this Mae Young Classic.
No, I mustn't have. And also, Jessie has the worst entrance music I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Because the music started playing and I was like, right, this must be some sort of like build up for something else. And then it just carried on and I was like, this isn't entrance music. What's happening?
It's going nowhere.
It's various noises. It's not a song. It's not music. It was terrible. It was awful.
I've forgotten it completely. So it had no effect on me. I can't even tell you a single thing about it. I'll be honest with you. If you had like a lineup and Jessie was in that lineup, I don't think I could point her out.
No, I don't think I could either, if I'm honest.
I would struggle at the very least.
Yeah. It was various electronic noises was what I'd call her music. It was awful.
EDM.
See, I don't mind EDM. I listen to EDM sometimes. This was awful.
I don't really.
This was terrible.
I just know those three are words, or letters rather, that fill out a word. Anyway, Jessie tried a roll up. There was some interference from Aaliyah, who was down there with Bourne, but this was really just to get Bourne a win because her and Aaliyah have been losing a lot as of late. So just to give Bourne a win. Nothing really there. I guess it's also for some character work for Nigel because he loves Vanessa Bourne because she's a very can I on you, and it's it was there. It was fine.
It was there. Yeah. As soon as Bourne and Aaliyah came out, I wrote in my notes, "Oh, it's Bourne versus Candice Ray. Awesome, great." And then Candice Ray didn't come out, and I was like, "Damn it, that's unfortunate." This is carrying on.
So that was that was this week's NXT, which I thought was a very good show. And it wasn't really a lot to the show, to be honest with you. It was like three enhancement matches and the big stuff with the Viking Raiders and Street Profits. But I really enjoyed that aspect of it.
Yeah.
Loved seeing Keith Lee back in the ring. Always happy to see Kushida. So actually, very much enjoyed this week's show.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun for what it was. It wasn't like a huge groundbreaking show by any means, but it did what it needed to. It built more matches for the next TakeOver. Solid. It's good. Yeah.
This did more with its Arrow storyline than SmackDown did with its two. Now it's over to Randy Datsun for our super chats to get us out of here.
Yes. We'll start with Jade Lai Roxon, who won't stop asking me to wear the. My girlfriend messaged me during this to say I agree with her. So. I'm still not going to do it. Arnie K said, Arnie says, by the way, I am Arnie K.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Well, I think we reference that.
We know that. Small Afro Games says, isn't Nick Hurtz just the N word? And I don't know what that means.
No.
No idea.
Jeff Senzibau says nothing but a little donation.
Thank you very much.
And Nelson CEP, who has been pestering me to read this out, and I kept telling him we'll read it out later, says McIntyre to win Universal title at SummerSlam?
Certainly he's not out of the realms of possibility. Yeah. I don't think he's on that level now because they've done everything they possibly could to make him not feel special.
Yeah.
So I'd say no for now, but, all this is going to take us a couple of weeks. Look at Kofi Kingston. Like, Kofi, 3 weeks, but a week before Elimination Chamber, was nowhere near. He was in an ass's roar of the WWE Championship picture.
Exactly.
All it took was one episode to completely turn that ship around.
Yeah, exactly.
And make him, like, one of the biggest stars in the company. So all this is going to take is a couple of weeks.
McIntyre has the potential. They need to believe in him, push him properly, book him properly. And I would very much like it because I like McIntyre a lot. I don't see it happening at this SummerSlam, but maybe by Survivor Series they could do it properly, or maybe by next Mania. Who knows? Yeah. But I'd like it at some point.
Yeah, just not now.
Not now.
Tomo says, did you guys know that I love the SWAF Nation? Totally not turning heel or anything.
Oh, good.
Well, that's nice.
That is nice to hear.
We all love the SWAF Nation, yes.
We do.
We love them as well.
Sawyer says, NXT Twitter just confirmed the tag team titles have been officially vacated.
There you go. It's been officially, yeah. They confirmed that on the show, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Instead of them just going, here's titles bow, cut.
Yeah, cut.
Cut to black.
Cut to that now.
End of show.
Rated R King 22 says, how long do you think it will take for WWE to rebrand name Kushida like they did with Punishment Martinez? I don't think they will.
Yeah, I don't think they will either. No, and I think within NXT as well, it's their own choice.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, it's their own choice. Like, they're given the option, do you want to keep the name or do you want to change it? Do you want to try and rebrand yourself? So, yeah, I could certainly see. And I think Kushida is quite happy with his brand and his time mm-hmm. split gimmick, so I don't think they're going to be rebranding him anytime soon.
He could, he could join the Kabuki Warriors.
How dare you?
You're daft racist.
No, apparently Asuka has tweeted to explain the name of Kabuki Warriors. I can read that very quickly. Kabuki Mono, Sengoku or Edo period eccentric who attracted public attention with their eye-catching clothes, peculiar hairstyle and weird behaviour.
Doesn't stop the fact that Kairi Sane's a bloody pirate though, does it?
No.
She's definitely a pirate.
And Paige is but Paige.
Good try, Asuka.
Paige here.
Paige here. Again, it applies to Asuka, yeah. who is one third of this act.
Yeah. Hmm.
It still makes no sense.
Kabuki Pirates.
That would at least make sense.
It would be terrible, but it would at least make
dreadful,
sense.
But at least it would make sense. Yeah. And maybe that's what we get next week at the Kabuki Xbox yachts. Games. Kabuki yachts. I'm happy with that. Kabuki ships.
Yeah.
Like Kabuki cannonball. Yeah. Anything. Kabuki parrots. Like, as long as it's bloody pirate related, I don't care.
Yar. Insane Ninja says, Saturday is a Raw pay-per-view. Sunday is SmackDown pay-per-view. Any thoughts on that? My thoughts are no.
No. Oh, God. God, no. No, thank you.
No.
Love the enthusiasm. Love the fact you've donated. Love the fact that you had the idea, but absolutely no. No.
Categorically no.
It was bad enough when they were 2 weeks apart from each other. That's dark timeline stuff.
Mm-hmm.
On the same weekend would be horrific.
Mm. Yeah, that would be genuinely dreadful.
Evie Duran says, get well, Laurie and Ollie. Great to see Pete, though. What match are you most looking forward to at Money in the Bank? Hashtag Chopper Pete merch. Hashtag Chopper for the win.
He is a nice
I had no idea Michelle was called Evie Duran.
Yeah, who knew? Yeah.
We love Pete. Pete's a good guy.
We love Pete.
We do love
He's
Pete.
He's great.
I think Pete's the best. genuinely do. Match I'm most looking forward to. We sort of said this yesterday. I'm Seth and AJ. I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
But I don't think you can go wrong with a Money in the Bank ladder match, as Ollie pointed out yesterday. So I think I think there's a lot of stuff on the card. You look at it and you're like, that's a good match. That's going to be a good match. That's going to be a good match.
Yep.
I think it's actually going to be a fun show. Probably too long, but I think it's going to be a fun show.
Yeah. And personally, I'm most looking forward to the men's Money in the Bank match. I think that's going to be class. Seth AJ is going to be great. I'm actually looking forward to Shane Miz in a cage because, I mean, they put on a show-stealing match at WrestleMania. And who would have predicted that?
Didn't they just?
So I really, really looking forward to their cage match, honestly. So
as there just needs to be Miz Dad interference. If there is no Miz Dad interference, it is a negative 5-star match.
Just, he just walks up to the door. When the cage, Shane opens it and just stands
there. Oh, no, he's got to do the fist, right? He's got to go in there and do the fist. And Shane's like, I don't want any of this.
No.
I don't want to break any more ribs. So
see, no, Elias runs down for the interference and Miz Dad beats him up and chases off Elias.
With a recorder instead of a guitar.
Ukulele.
Yeah.
I still wish we could build to Miz and Miz Dad versus Shane and Vince.
Oh, my God.
That would be so incredible.
Much.
That'd be tremendous.
I was going to say something, but I can't remember what it was. Danny, your boy DeVito says, Street Profit versus Crime Time?
Crime Time are tagging it, aren't they, on the independent scene?
Right. Apparently.
Yeah. I believe they are anyway. I think they're still friends. So,
Sure.
And also, Pete, the other day you said you weren't looking forward to Seth versus AJ, and in fact you said you weren't looking forward to the pay-per-view at all.
Well, okay.
He's very two-faced, is Pete.
No, that's not what it is. I said that, in theory, this should be a really good card, and it's got some really good matches on it. I'm just really burnt out on WWE, and I don't care that much.
Yeah,
that's the main problem. Whereas, now I think I'll probably enjoy myself if I watch it, but I'm not like, oh my God, it's Seth versus AJ, which I definitely should be.
Yeah.
Like, maybe a couple years ago, I've been like, wow, dream match, kind of, amazingness. But now I'm just like, oh, Seth versus AJ, cool.
Yeah.
It also 11 matches long, including two ladder matches, one of which will just be spot. Small Afro Games with our last message. Who is?
Jaron Walker.
Says, chances of Drew winning the briefcase. He then says, I'd cry. I don't know if that means he'd be so happy or he'd be really sad.
I don't see... Maybe Drew is one of the shots. I don't think Corbin's winning.
No.
I don't think Sammy is winning.
Nope.
I don't think that Ricochet is winning.
Nope.
Who else in the match?
Andrade.
Andrade is the one I think has got the most likely
Andrade
chance. But
is
I think
my prediction.
If it's not Andrade, then I think it could be Drew.
Yeah.
I think when you've got two babyface champions as well, you probably do want a heel winning.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think if it's not Andrade, I think it could be Drew.
Yeah. I put those two probably top two. Who else is in the match other than them?
Balor.
Oh, he's not winning.
Ali and Randy Orton. I don't think it's going to be Randy.
No. Yeah, so I'd say those two are probably the most likely. I want Andrade. My heart is saying Andrade. And I think logically it should be Andrade. But I wouldn't be mad if Drew won.
Yeah.
I would not be mad. Because if that's a way to elevate him back into the Universal title picture, I'm okay with that. Because I want Drew in the Universal title picture because he's great.
And we're going to use this as a nice little segue to plug Money in the Bank this coming Sunday, because we're going to be doing a live stream of that show. Myself and Laurie, hopefully, if he's well enough, are going to be here. We're going to be watching the show live, going to be reacting to it live like we did over WrestleMania weekend, then doing a ramble afterwards. So we're actually been doing the show live, and then an hour after it ends, or like half an hour after it ends, we're going to do another Wrestle Ramble where we're going to review the full show. So you get a full-on post-WrestleMania, post Money in the Bank review with myself and Laurie. We're really, really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
But Luke, what if they wanted to involve themselves in some kind of predictions league for Money in the Bank, which kind of carries over a number of pay-per-views?
That's an excellent question, Randy, and thankfully I have an answer for you. You can join Wrestle League, which is our predictions warfare over on Patreon, where you can join in and predict against us, against the WrestleTalk crew for a chance to win prizes over the season period. The season is running up until SummerSlam. It started at WrestleMania. We've got Money in the Bank. We have got Double or Nothing. We've got NXT 25. We have got Dominion coming up in just a few short weeks.
Stomping Grounds.
Stomping Grounds is going to be happening. So we've got a lot of pay-per-views between now and when we get to SummerSlam. So it's going to be a fun time for all of us. And the loser will end up doing a punishment video, which is always good, jolly good fun. And our predictions for Money in the Bank will be going live tomorrow on the WrestleTalk YouTube channel. So we're going to go record it very, very shortly, but it's going to be tomorrow for you fine folks.
Indeed.
Is that all we've got, Randy?
That is all we've got. So pay for
fantabulous.
Have you seen Detective Pikachu yet?
No. Oh, I really wanted to see it.
Pete, I'm so fully upset. Banking on you having seen this
I know,
film.
I'm so upset with myself because I really wanted to go see it. And in fact, a bunch of my friends met up this past week to go see Detective Pikachu and to go to Raw in London.
Oh, right.
So they all met up and went to it. And I was invited to go. And I was like, I can't because I don't know where I'm going to be in the country at the time because I'm still living in the north and I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Do I have my own place yet? And all that stuff. So I was like, all right, I can't commit to anything, so I'll say I won't go. Turns out I could have gone.
Oh,
but
dang me.
So they all went and had a great time and then came back steaming drunk from Raw. And I was just sitting there just like, hello. This has been fun, just sitting on my friend's sofa waiting for them to come back. But they really enjoyed it, and I've seen very good things about it. I just haven't seen it yet, and I'm really upset because I love Pokemon and it's my thing.
So I went to go see it last night.
How dare you? Right, okay.
I was going to go with my wife. However, she was not well.
Right.
So it turns out the thing that has been going around the office, I have since passed on to my wife.
Very good.
So she is very unwell at the moment. Mm-hmm. She just texts me like on the way to the cinema being like, I can't go.
Yeah.
And she was like, but you still go without me. Because I don't think she was like massively fussed on seeing it anyway.
Yeah, probably.
So I went on my own in the end. And I had booked myself a ticket, so I was sat on my own away from people.
Lovely.
I was very disappointed when I arrived and there was a family that was sat like next to me.
Oh, no.
Like, and I had an aisle seat as well, which means they looked at that row,
yeah,
saw an entire empty row, but booked the four seats that were next to mine.
Of course, yeah.
And a whole row to play with people. I felt mad awkward because I'm on my own going to a kids' film.
Yeah.
Creepy old 33-year-old. He's going to a bloody kids' film on his own. So I felt mad awkward anyway. I thought the film was good.
That's what I've heard.
That's my overall review of it. It was good. It's a good, solid kids' film. Very much a kids' film.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the first two-thirds were very good. Wasn't massively keen on the third act, I'll be honest. I think the sort of big plot reveal, twist, whatever you want to call it, is a bit crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels very 90s. In the sense of where they would have looked at something like Pokemon and said, like, God, you know what's really interesting about Pokemon? humans. And I'm sitting there going like, oh, do you know what? I kind of want to see the Pokemon fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Just show me the Pokemon doing the fighting.
I think I'm probably just going to go and see some Pokemon on the screen and be like, this film's amazing.
And that's cool. And I think that's kind of what, like, my... I'm not the biggest Pokemon... I mean, I've never played a Pokemon game. Mm-hmm. I didn't play the card game. I didn't watch the cartoon. Like,
yeah.
I was too old, so to speak. Like, because I was in year 8, so which would be like 98, 99, when Pokemon kind of, like, hit it big in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, it was something that the year 7s were doing. So now...
Year 8s can't do it.
That's what nerdy year 7s
exactly.
do. I'm over here talking about Star Wars and Star Trek instead. I'm playing D&D. That's cool.
Yeah, so much cooler.
So much cooler.
Yeah. See, I was into Pokemon like straight away because my brothers were playing it when it first came out. So pretty much as long as I can remember, because I would have been like 4, 5 when the first games came out, Pokemon's just been there all the time for my entire life. So... I love it so much.
It's kind of wild seeing like these Pokemon designs on the big screen. Mm. Like that was the thing I enjoyed the most about it. I was like, huh, it's a live action Pokemon movie. This is kind of nuts, really, but also it's cool. And it's taking itself very, very seriously. And I'm totally all for that.
Yeah.
I don't think all the designs work in a real life setting.
No, probably not.
No, it's that Sonic argument, the live action Sonic of being like, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? It's like, because I don't think that would work in a live action movie.
Yeah.
Like the cartoony design of Sonic doesn't really translate to a real world setting.
Exactly.
Like Space Jam and Mary Poppins, they're meeting cartoon characters. So it makes sense when Michael Jordan shakes hands with Bugs Bunny. But Sonic is not a cartoon character in this world. He's a real life creature. So you have to try and make him look as real life. And it's the same with Pokemon. And, like, Psyduck is so distractingly horrific to look at times that I was like, this isn't working for me.
Yeah.
Some of the designs just do not translate to the screen.
Yeah. From the looks of the trailer, I'm a big fan of Ludicolo. It looks horrible in the best way. I love the look of Ludicolo from
Which
the movie.
One's he?
It's the one that says Ludicolo.
Well, that doesn't help me. What do they do?
From the
is
trailer...
is that the licking one?
From the trailer, it was one that was behind a bar, I think, was helping in like a bar.
Oh, yeah. It's like a sort of...
And it's got like a sombrero on it.
Thank you very much. I was about to say sombrero. Yeah. Yes, Randy Datsun just held up a picture of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So from the trailer, I was like, I'm so sold on Ludicolo already. So I want to see him on the big screen. That'd be great.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Yeah, I don't think it'll end up in my top 10 films of the year if I'd seen 20 films. But, it was. I thought it was good.
It was fine.
It was absolutely fine.
Enjoyable couple of hours or however long it is.
Exactly. I recognised at least 20% of the Pokemon.
That's quite an achievement for someone who's never played a game.
I said that and then I got home and my wife said, was Clefairy in it? And I was like, what's a Clefairy?
Probably not.
She was like, what's the star one in an egg? And I was like... Yeah, I think someone's holding one.
as a quick, it's not a star in an egg.
No, that's Togepi.
Togepi, thank you very Togepi's much. That's what she said.
Yeah.
She said Togepi.
Togepi's the egg
what's
one.
What's a Clefairy then?
Clefairy is like a, Jigglypuff.
It's like an elongated version.
Clefairy's similar to Jigglypuff. It's like a small pink thing, similar to that, but not the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
As a quick story, I figured I'd tell this on the NXT Ramble because I feel like the NXT Ramble audience might appreciate this one. And I know this is going to start with, I had a dream, and that's not great lead-in for a story, but it's not about the dream, it's about what happened after the dream. So, I had a dream the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, me and my friend were part of the Undisputed Era in this dream.
Right.
Because we were. We were walking through crowds of adoring fans, obviously, walking somewhere really important, as you do. Occasionally throwing up the old Undisputed Era sign, hand gesture, as you do. And the dream went on and we did our things and whatever else. When I woke up in the bed, my wrists were kind of crossed like this. And I was like, have I just been doing the Undisputed Era's hand gesture in my sleep? Man, I am the coolest person alive.
Funny enough, I actually was, I had a dream last night. In which I was going to Double or Nothing. I was going to Double or Nothing, but I hadn't bought tickets or booked a hotel in Vegas. And so I was then trying to like scramble around to like get a hotel and get some tickets. And I also hadn't told Ollie that I was going and I was meant to be doing the live stream with him. And I'm like, probably should have told him. Also, it was a weird 2-day event and the tickets were being sold to me by Zoe Ball.
I think that's
you
the
might
best
have to
detail.
Explain who that is.
Yeah. Very, very weird. I woke up this morning going like, Zoe Ball?
Right, on that note, we're going to have to get out of here. So once again, Frank, I'm very sorry. I will read out your Rusev hey on the next episode, which will be our Saturday show where Ollie Davis returns. But let's have an 80% fact before we get out of here.
Let's do it.
Elvis invented the peanut butter and jam sandwich, or jelly sandwich.
No.
Oh, Datsun saying no?
No. Pretty sure he didn't.
It was his favorite sandwich.
Yes.
Although I thought it was something slightly different. I thought it was like peanut butter and...
Wasn't it banana?
Yeah. Mm. But I think it was someone did invent it, but he kind of, because he said, it's my favorite, everyone was like, oh, Elvis invented it, because that's when it became popular.
I see. Wasn't there one like him and JFK used Air Force One to go get McDonald's or something?
Quite possibly, yeah.
You
would
though,
wouldn't you, if you could?
Well, probably amazing. Not, because...
Not to McDonald's, maybe KFC.
Luke Chador, Bernard Schuster has said, while no actual scientific reason has been given, it is believed that hair on humans' bums is to prevent chafing.
Well, then I should have more.
Okay.
Of it.
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, there you go.
80%.
This comes in from Brock, who says, hey, lads, I've got an 80% fact for you that I'm pretty sure I heard on Top Gear many years ago. If you hold your car key / transponder to your head, you can actually get further range when unlocking your car.
I've seen that clip on Top Gear,
and that is true.
It's
either true because you're holding it to your head. I think it's just because you're holding your keys up in the air, so it's got...
From that clip on... Top Gear, if I'm remembering correctly, he pointed it at the car. Mm. It was facing the car, pointed it at the car, full reach of the arm, and it didn't work. Then took it back, pointed it at his head, and it worked. Which was really dumb.
But
and I don't know
Jeremy
whether that's
Clarkson
true or not.
Is an android designed to be the most annoying. Actually, Piers Morgan, the second most annoying
second
person
most annoying.
In
yes.
the world.
So.
Yeah.
In the world.
I'm disappointed that his name was said on this podcast.
I know, yeah.
The PM one. also, on a quick note, I've been listening to last week's SmackDown review and heard that Randy say that he doesn't feel belittled or humiliated by you guys. I'm a little bit disappointed. This means you need to try harder.
Shut up, Randy.
This is a message for Ollie as well, so I'll save that for when Ollie's back. It's about melatonin. And ooh, let's have this one last 80% fact once again from Luke Jador. I've heard if you brush your teeth in the shower, it actually gives you hot breath. But this doesn't make sense, as after a few minutes, the temperature of your mouth would have regulated. Thoughts? Also, the socks while sleeping thing is true. And yes, I brush my teeth in the shower like a weirdo.
What is hot breath?
Yeah. What does that even mean?
I have no idea.
Do you just turn into a red-plated dragonborn?
Yeah,
you can just breathe fire? Yeah, you turn into a Charizard. You can just breathe fire after. I don't, like, permanent hot breath?
Because
like, for the rest of the day?
Depending on how you breathe. Because if you kind of, then it's hot. But if you, then it's cold. So.
Is that true? Like,
yeah, if you...
Well, sort of. I mean, you could do a test right now.
This is great audio.
Audio content is great.
I'll do it right in the
microphone. Right in the mic.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I guess so, because you're like, you blow on things to make them... You don't, like, you don't breathe on things to cool them
down,
do you?
Yeah, for example, if you have cold hands, you generally go into it. But if you're blowing stuff to make it cold, like cold food, you go...
That's true.
It.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a different thing.
Maybe
it's true.
Maybe that's more of a mental thing.
It's probably a mental thing. Definitely placebo, but whatever.
So that's the socks on shoes one. I don't know about the.
What is the socks on shoes one?
As if you wear socks when you go to sleep, you're 33% more likely to fall asleep quicker.
I don't. My mum always told me that it does. If you wear socks and then your skin can't and your feet can't breathe. And then you wake up and more uncomfortable.
Well, the science behind it, at least so I've heard, and this person has backed it up, is that your body needs to be at the exact same temperature, and your feet are the last place to get to that temperature. And so that's...
I heard that you last longer jogging if you wear socks.
Well,
that's interesting.
More 80% facts on this show.
Who
Fun
knows?
Fact about my, my cousin-in-law. He counts while he's in the shower and while he's brushing his teeth.
Right.
Why?
But weird.
He counts to 10. Well, he counts to 20, rather.
Speaking of being in the shower.
And then just starts the count again.
Do you have...
It's weird.
Do you, when you towel yourself, do you have a specific method or do you just do it? Because I definitely, like, do it in an order. I've heard people talk about this before.
Yeah, I guess I do have like a certain order.
Yeah.
Like
head, back, front, unspeakables, leg, foot, I think.
That's fair. See, I've got an order, but like sometimes I'll not do it and it doesn't affect my day. It's not like I have to do this order in order to
dry
the same way.
Your day.
It's just like I just dry myself. If like I'll do something and I'll miss a bit, I'll just go dry. You could dry your
entire body with a tea towel.
Hilarious. And original.
Peter Small. Anyway, I think we need to
go. We actually need to rebuild this set as well because they destroyed it for Screen Grapple. Anyway, Ollie and I will be back for the Saturday show. But if you are a subscriber to this podcast, you're going to have two bonus podcasts tomorrow. That's right. Ooh. Two bonus podcasts. Of course, we're going to have our predictions for Money in the Bank 2019 going up. But also, we're going to be having the WrestleTalk Live in London podcast from our screening of Ready to Rumble, where you hear the podcast that we recorded talk about the wrestling career of David Arquette. So please look out for that. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll take care. I'll see you soon. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.